Well, good morning, and thank you for inviting me here. Well, you didn't invite me, Matthew did, but I mean, you're sitting there, so you're at least giving your consent to be taught by this stranger who has come in from Fort Worth today. I want to begin by greeting you, giving you greetings from your seminary over in Fort Worth. I say it's your seminary because you own it. Southwestern Seminary is one of the six seminaries that are owned by the Southern Baptist Convention. And my day job is teaching along with Matthew in the School of Theology there, but I have moonlighted for 31 years as the chief parliamentarian for the Southern Baptist Convention. So I am a professional parliamentarian as well as a professor, and so for 31 years I've stood next to the presidents of the SBC to help them work their way through the annual meeting. So every year I look out at thousands of messengers from local Southern Baptist churches, and so I have a keen sense of the fact that that seminary answers to you. You own it. And I just want to say thank you for your cooperative program dollars that enable us to educate the young men who are called to be pastors, and a lot of young women who are called to missions and teaching. And we really appreciate you folks. This is the headquarters of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's not in Fort Worth. It's not in Nashville. It's here in local faithful, cooperating Baptist churches. So I love getting out among our churches, and especially I enjoyed doing a favor for my colleague Matthew. I love him. And I understand that you have a special relationship this class with our new dean of the School of Theology, Jeffrey Bingham, who used to be your teacher, I understand. So I bring you greetings from him, and I'll be happy to go back. I didn't have a chance to talk to him before I came this morning, so I'll go back and tell him I had the privilege of teaching your old Sunday school class. Well, let's get down to business. We're going to be in Genesis chapter, the end of chapter 29 and the beginning of chapter 30. Now, I know that your quarterly book says that you're beginning the study of Joshua today, and you are beginning the study of Joshua this quarter. However, Matthew asked me to do something that I had done in chapel over at Southwestern to give you some background that I think will help you in your study through Joshua. This morning, we're going to talk about how the 12 tribes of Israel came to be. It's a fascinating story. To be honest with you, it's a weird story. You're going to encounter a few things in this Bible story that are strange. The story takes place in a place called Padam Aram, 1900 years before the birth of Christ. Now, let's back up just a minute and remember, let me put this on the timeline of Old Testament history. In fact, I can give you in just a few words a summary of the history of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, after the creation, the fall, and the flood, the Old Testament, most of the book of Genesis and the rest of the Old Testament, is the story of how God called one man, Abraham. And he made a covenant with Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and through you I will bless all the nations of the earth. And the whole story of the rest of the Old Testament is the unfolding of that covenant that God made with Abraham. It begins in the age of the patriarchs. We see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a grandfather and a father and a son, and then a grandson, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then from Jacob come 12 sons. And these 12 sons become the fathers or the patriarchs of 12 tribes, which eventually God forges into the nation of Israel. And from the nation of Israel comes Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, that's the whole history of the Old Testament in just a few words. From one man to a family to 12 tribes to a nation and back to one man, Jesus Christ the Messiah. So this morning, we're going to take a look at that part of the story which most Bibles will entitle this Jacob's Children. So we're going to look at the birth of Jacob's children. Now, two weird things that I don't want you to be jarred by when you're reading through and said, well, wow, maybe you heard something about this, or maybe it's strange. Jacob is married to two women, and so polygamy is one of the things you discover. And it's unsettling to a few people to realize that the covenant nation came out of a polygamous marriage. Well, polygamy was not God's plan for mankind in the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, He didn't make a bunch of pairs and spares. He made one man and one woman for one another. And that's also the plan that God comes back to in the new covenant when Jesus is asked by the Pharisees, hey, under what conditions can men switch their wives around? When he was asked about divorce in Matthew 19, Jesus said, no, you've gotten it all wrong. It's because of your hardness of heart that Moses permitted divorce. But in the beginning, it wasn't so. God created one man for one woman. But there was a period in history when, as a concession to human weakness, God permitted these polygamous marriages. So don't let that unsettle you. This is early in God's relationship with His covenant people. There's some maturity that needs to take place. There's some spiritual growth that needs to take place. But eventually, polygamy was only a temporary concession. It wasn't God's plan, and isn't God's plan now. The other thing that's a little odd is that you're going to see, not only does Jacob have two wives, but when one of these wives, and one of them is barren for a long time and one becomes barren for a while, they have handmaids. They have servants who belong to them. That's a weird thing too. But these wives give their handmaids to their husband and have them bear children on their behalf. So this surrogate mother business, that's a little odd too. Again, this is a concession to human weakness that God permitted, but don't get the idea that it's all right for you to go out next week and find one of these. It's not. So there, don't let that jar you in the story. So let's read the story. We're going to read a lot, and we're going to read through it. And one thing I want you to listen for that we'll unpack in just a few moments. But as each of these boys is born, they are named by one of the mothers or one of the wives here. Rachel and Leah are going to name these boys as they're born. And in Hebrew, each boy's name sounds like something that's going on in the story. So listen very careful. We begin in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, keep that in mind. I'm sorry, but that's what the story says. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb. But Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, He has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me because I bore him three sons. Therefore, she called his name Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. Now, that's Leah. She has the first four sons. All right, change of scene here. Chapter 30, verse 1. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children or I shall die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who's withheld from you the fruit of the womb? And then she said, here is my servant Bilhah, Go in to her so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her. Now, this is the first surrogate mother that's being put into play. It's like a professional wrestling match. This is tag team. You have to see who's tagging in. So Rachel was in first. Now, Bilhah is tagging in on behalf of Rachel. So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. And then Rachel said, God has judged me. This is judged in the sense of I've won my case. God's heard me. He's heard my plea. He's awarded me what I wanted. God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. And then Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings, I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. Okay, now we switch scenes again. We go back over to Leah. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah. Now, Bilhah is Rachel's servant. Zilpah is Leah's servant. And she gave her to Jacob as a wife. And then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, good fortune has come. So she called his name Gad. Leah's servant Bilhah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for women have called me happy. So she called his name Asher. And then there must have been a little... Now, this has taken a while. You can imagine, it takes a while for these children to be born. So Reuben, the oldest boy, Reuben's probably maybe even a teenager. He's old enough he can go out into the field and look for stuff. So here's the story changes. In the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Look at these are some competing sisters here. Is it a small matter you've taken away my husband? Ooh. And that would you also take away my son's mandrakes? Rachel then said, well, he, that is Jacob, may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. When Jacob came in from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. And then Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I've borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Thank God a girl finally showed up here to this mess. Verse 22, then God remembered Rachel and God listened to her. Now watch this verse carefully. God remembered Rachel. Now watch the verbs, what God does. God remembered Rachel and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. Now, if that doesn't strike you as a weird story, you aren't paying attention. That's a weird story. This is how the 12 tribes came to be. Jacob is married to these two sisters. He didn't want to be married to two sisters. He fell in love with Rachel, who was his young cousin. He had been sent from his home. You remember the story about Jacob and Esau? There was a falling out there. Esau was mad, and so their mother sent him back to her brother. So he's working for his uncle Laban. Falls in love with his beautiful cousin Rachel. The Bible says that Rachel was beautiful. She was the younger sister. The Hebrew says she was shapely of form. That is, she was one of those knockout girls. She was beautiful in all the ways that boys pay attention. And so Jacob was paying attention. He fell in love with Rachel. So Laban says, if you will work for me for 7 years, I will give you my daughter Rachel as a wife. So he does. The wedding comes, and they have the wedding. And remember, they covered these girls up. You know, you see in the Middle East, the burqas and all that. Well, the veils, these girls were covered up. They didn't have electric lights, and so it's dark at night. And so Jacob goes into the tent, and he thinks he's having a wonderful wedding night with his beloved Rachel. He wakes up the next morning and opens the flap of the tent, and the daylight comes in, and it's not Rachel in bed with him. It's her ugly older sister, Leah. Now, I'm not being cruel to Leah. The Bible says she was ugly. It's the Hebrew term says that she had weak eyes. She wasn't much to look at. So Jacob says, what's up with this? And Laban says, oh, I forgot to tell you, we have a custom that you can't marry off a younger sister till you've married off the older sister. And Jacob said, it'd been nice if you told me that ahead of time because I don't want the older sister, I want the younger one. He said, well, you're already stuck with the older one. So to tell you what, you work for me another 7 years, you can have the younger one too. So that's the deal. So Jacob ends up married to these two women, Rachel and Leah, or Leah and Rachel. Leah's the oldest. And they're, read the text. This household is not a peaceful place. These two women, these battling sister wives, are competitors with one another. And so rather than just being happy for her sister, Leah, when she begins to bear children, Rachel becomes jealous. Now, here's what's going on in the story. If you listen to the Hebrew names of these boys, you can see the pain and the anguish and the unfulfilled desire in this family. Reuben is the first boy who is born into this family. He's the oldest. He's born to Leah. In Hebrew, Reuben's name sounds like Ra'ah Bin, which in Hebrew means see a son. Now, you might think, well, that's a natural reaction for any mother. Oh, look, I have a baby boy, see a boy. Oh, but that's not what the name means. Instead, Leah is saying, I've named him see a son because God has given me this son because God has seen that I am hated. In other words, God has given me this son as a gift to maybe make my husband love me because I was the first to bear children for him. See a son. See, I'm hated. Maybe I won't be hated now. That's what's going on in the birth of Reuben. Now, what did Jacob hate Leah? Well, I don't know that he hated her like you hated an enemy, but she was the ugly old maid sister that he didn't want. He wanted the pretty young one. And so that's what's going on in here. So this is a really dysfunctional family. You think your family's got problems. Hey, welcome to the Bible. This is God's people. This ought to give hope to the messiest of families because this family was a mess. All right, second, so Leah becomes pregnant again. This time, she names the boy Simeon because Simeon's name sounds like Shema, which is the Hebrew word for to hear. The most famous prayer in Israel is the Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So Simeon's name sounds like Shema. And what is it that God has heard? God has heard, God with Reuben, see, God sees that I'm hated. With Simeon, God heard that I am hated. And then probably the most pitiful name in the bunch is Levi. Levi, the third son who was born to Leah, Levi's name sounds like the Hebrew word lava, which means attached. And Leah says, she calls him Levi, said, maybe now that I've borne my husband three sons, maybe now he will be attached to me. Leah wasn't the first woman who believed that the birth of a child would heal a fractured marriage, and she wasn't the last either. Can you see that? What's going on there? That pain? Finally, Judah shows up, and I'm happy to have Judah show up. He's son number four, and his name simply means to praise. Okay, thank God we have another son. And then Leah stops bearing children. Now, you have to keep your players straight. We're going to have Leah. Over. This is Leah's side of the court. And Leah has had, she's first in. She has four sons. Well, what's happening over here on the other side of the camp? Here's Rachel's tent over here. She's looking across. Hey, I'm the pretty one. I'm the loved one. Ooh, but I don't have any children. And so Rachel is jealous. Her ugly older sister's got four boys she has born. And so what does Rachel do? She chews Jacob out. And Jacob says, hey, what you looking at me for? I'm trying as hard as I can, but it's not my fault that you're not becoming pregnant. Am I God that I have closed your womb? And so Rachel gets this idea. And by the way, we've seen this before. Abraham and Sarah, you remember when the promised son Isaac was long in coming? She gets her handmaid into play. So Rachel says, I tell you what, I'm not bearing you children, but take my servant Bilhah, and she'll bear children on my behalf. See, Bilhah is on Rachel's team over here. So even though Bilhah is just a servant, she's bearing children on Rachel's behalf. So in the second scene, Bilhah begins to bear. She bears two children, Dan, whose name means judged. In other words, these battling women are viewing the birth of their children like they were awards in a personal injury suit. You know, God has judged me. I finally won my case and I have a boy. And the second son that Bilhah bears is named Naphtali. And Naphtali's name sounds like Naphtalim, to wrestle. And boy, that's an appropriate name because, but imagine if you're Naphtali and you ask your mother, Mom, why was I named Naphtali? She said, oh, I've had this contest with your Aunt Rachel for years. We've been wrestling over who could have the first boys or the most boys. And hey, you came along and you're a prize. So Dan and Naphtali are born. Okay, that's happened over Rachel's tent. Well, we got four kids in play over here, two over here. So back over here, Leah, she's still paying attention. She's not bearing any sons right now, but she's looking over there and said, well, now, wait a minute. You let your servant tag in for your team? Well, if that's how the game is played, I've got one of those handmaids too. So she takes her handmaid, Zilpah. It's Bilhah over there, Zilpah over here. Takes Zilpah and says, here, Jacob, see if we can bear some more children for my team with my servant Zilpah. So Jacob goes into Zilpah, and another son is born. And they name him, these are good names, they name him Gad, which means good fortune, and Asher, which means happy. So now Leah's team has four of her sons and two of her handmaid sons. There's six going on over here. All right. Then we get to verse 14 of chapter 30, and there's this odd story about these mandrakes. Now, what on earth are mandrakes, and why are these two women fighting over them? Well, mandrakes, they're a fruit. They're sometimes called love apples. In the ancient world, they were believed to be both an aphrodisiac and a fertility plant. And so women who wanted to become pregnant would eat these mandrakes. So now you know why they're both there. Rachel, it's Leah's son, Reuben, who's found the mandrakes and brings them to his mother, Leah. But Rachel says, hey, wait a minute. Last time I counted, there were six kids on your side and two on mine. I'm the one who needs those mandrakes. So they fight over them. They argue over them. Finally, Rachel says, I tell you what. You give me the mandrakes, and you can sleep with our husband tonight. So Jacob comes in from the field, and Leah goes out to meet him and said, hey, look, you're to come into me tonight because I hired you with my son's mandrakes. Now, you'll notice that Jacob isn't saying much in this story. I mean, this poor guy. I mean, these women are wearing this man out. You know, he comes in, hard day in the field. He says, oh, no, he said, oh, just tell me where I go. Just whose tent am I sleeping in tonight? I don't care. Just tell me where to go. So what happens? Leah becomes pregnant again. And she bears another son, and they named this son Issachar. This is the worst of the names. The Hebrew word sekar means wages. And so Issachar's name sounds like wages. Imagine if you're growing up and you're saying, hey, Mom, why did you name me Wages? He said, oh, I bought you. I hired you out. I traded some mandrakes to sleep with your father. Oh, Jacob, this is like stud fees for a prize bull. These women are paying for this husband here. And then she conceives again. She has another son, and his name is Zebulun, and his name means blessed. So finally, eventually, the final scene is that Rachel finally becomes pregnant and bears a son, and his name is Joseph. And Joseph's name means increase. And actually, that did happen because later, about five chapters more, it's going to be a long time before Rachel bears. She only bears two children herself. Joseph and the final son, Benjamin, is born when they are on their way back to Bethlehem, and Rachel dies after bearing him. And so that's the final child. But Joseph's name means increase. May God add to me another son. And God did that for her. And so she has a final son. But also Joseph becomes two tribes. You ever wonder why there's not an Israelite tribe of Joseph? It's because when the Levites were taken by God to serve as Israel's priests, that meant that there were only 11 tribes. And so God took Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they became the tribes of Joseph. So Joseph actually becomes two tribes. And so now we're into the story. I don't know about you, but I'm worn out. This thing wears me out. This is, you see all of the wheeling and dealing, all of the scheming and planning, and can you hear in the names of these boys the hurt and the desire in this family? And yet, my dear friends, these are the ancestors of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Every Jew who would stand at the foot of Mount Sinai and enter into a covenant with God to become the nation of Israel would be a descendant of one of these 12 boys. Every Jew, the whole rest of the Old Testament, every one of the covenant people was a descendant of this dysfunctional family. A couple of takeaways as we wrap this up this morning. One, as I said, if you think your family has problems, well, don't feel alone. You see, God's never worked with perfect people. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. Now, look at the disciples, those rough fishermen, rough and raw fishermen, and what God did with them. God always works with imperfect fallen people. Boy, I'm happy about that because I'm as disgustingly human as anybody can be. I'm glad by His grace that God has saved me. I'm glad by His Spirit and His Word and His help and His comfort that He guides me. And so I'm glad that God works with ordinary, fallen, fallible human beings. I hope that'll encourage you today. And God also works with dysfunctional families like He did with this one. But here's what I'd like for you to take away today. In this story, all of the planning and scheming that all of these people are doing, trying to get something that they desired, notice the verbs in this story that have God as their subject. What is God doing in this story? You'll find that God is, it says that God saw Leah and He saw Rachel. And God heard them. He heard their prayers. He heard their cry. He knew their desires of their heart. He heard their cries to Him. And then it said that God opened. You see, these women had these children because God blessed them. God opened their womb and gave these children. In other words, God opened a way for these messy people to experience His mercy in the middle of their mess. And that's my takeaway from this story today, is that God will always find a way to mastermind His mercy in the middle of our mess. What about you today? You got a messy place in your life? Is there some unfulfilled desire? Can you identify with these women who had something that they desired, had some void in their lives? There was something that they lacked, something they desired, something that they passionately cried out to God for. Can you identify with Rachel or Leah today? I know there are things that I desperately need. I know there are times when I desperately cry out to God. And it's nice to know that God sees, He hears, and He opens a way for us to experience His mercy in the middle of our mess. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this wonderful story. While it's odd and while it's painful, it is a wonderful story because it's a part of Your story in Holy Scripture. And Father, ultimately the end of this story is that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, of the tribe of Judah, comes into this world. And He is our hope and our peace and our reconciliation to You. Oh, Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for His saving grace. And Father, help us to go to school on these patriarchs of the Old Covenant. And help us to see how You work with people and how You hear their prayers, even when they're flawed and even when their lives are messy, that You're seeing, You're hearing, and You're always opening a way for people to experience Your mercy in the middle of their mess. Help us, especially in this season of Christmas, to see the hope that came to us through Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah. Amen. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be with you this morning.